Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is powered by Poddex. Poddex are unique interview questions and episode starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're a new podcaster or existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience and have more meaningful conversations, you're going to want to check out Poddex. Now, if you want to get 10% off your order right now, you can go to poddex.com and type in coupon code. What's the code?
Larry21.
Yes, that's the code. Check out poddex.com. Take your podcast to the next level.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
There is an urban legend that you've probably heard of called the babysitter and the man upstairs. In this urban legend, the babysitter puts the kids to bed before she starts to receive phone calls. The caller, a man, simply asks her, "Have you checked the children?" She hangs up only for him to call back with the same message. After numerous calls, the police trace the call, informing the babysitter that the call is coming from inside the home. In the urban legend, the kids and babysitter are all murdered by the man upstairs. This version is truly an urban legend. However, it's based on a very true story. The story of the babysitter murder, the Jeanette Christman story. On the night of March 18th, 1950, Jeanette Christman was supposed to attend a party with friends. However, the 13-year-old had purchased a burgundy pantsuit on a payment plan for Easter and wanted to pay that off herself to save her parents the expense. For this reason, she declined the party invite, instead agreeing to babysit for a couple that was friends with her parents. Ed and Ann Romack lived in a remote part of Columbia, Missouri, with their 3-year-old son, Gregory. Jeanette had babysat for the couple before and was excited to earn the money to pay off her suit. On the evening of March 18th, the Columbia area was experiencing some freezing rain and sleet, with temperatures dropping into the 20s. Around 7:30 p.m., Jeanette arrived at the Romack's house. The Romacks were planning a night out with their friends to play cards, something they hadn't done in a while due to a move to the rural home and Anne's pregnancy. Anne explained to Janet that Gregory was already sleeping, so it should be a relatively quiet night for Janet. Ed directed Janet on how to load, unload, and fire a shotgun that the couple kept near the front door for security. The couple advised Janet that if someone knocked on the door, she should turn on the porch light and should only open the door for someone she knows. Janet expressed understanding, and the couple left for a much-needed night out. Around 10 p.m., Anne called the home to check in on Janet and Gregory. The call went unanswered, but Anne brushed it off. She decided Janet probably fell asleep. At 10:35 p.m., a call came into the Boone County Sheriff's Department. On the other end of the line, the sheriff could hear a young woman screaming and begging for help before the line went dead. Unfortunately, the call was too short to be traced. Technology in 1950 was very different from today, which unfortunately meant the police could do nothing unless the caller placed another call. Around 1 o'clock in the morning, the Romacks returned to their rural home. Immediately, they felt something was wrong. The porch light was on, something they instructed Janet to turn on only if someone knocked on the door. A sawhorse was noted outside a side window as well, which had not been there when the couple left. When they approached the front door, they noticed it was unlocked. Upon entering their home, the Romacs found a truly horrific scene. On the living room floor was the lifeless body of 13-year-old Janet Chrisman. She was lying in a pool of her own blood, which had saturated the carpet. Her legs were spread apart and her skirt pulled all the way up. She had a severe head wound. Multiple small circular puncture wounds to her face and scratches to her face and arms. She had a cord from an electric iron wrapped tightly around her neck. A few feet away was the phone, which was off the hook and lying next to Janet. She had apparently tried to call for help. Like any parent would, Anne rushed upstairs to check on her young son. Gregory was soundly asleep, safely in his bed. Meanwhile, Ed Romack was downstairs calling the police. The Columbia Police Department responded promptly. Although the Romack house was technically outside of their jurisdiction, the Boone County Sheriff's Department also responded to the call. The two departments began their own investigation, refusing to cooperate with each other as a joint task force. The scene inside the home was horrific. Janet had clearly fought her attacker and had defensive wounds. There were blood smears and fingerprints throughout the living room and kitchen. Bloodhounds were immediately brought in and were able to trace a scent from the scene, but lost the scent about a mile away from the home. Footprints, fingerprints, and blood samples were collected from the scene. The autopsy determined Janet had been strangled and sexually assaulted. Police noticed that the side window of the ranch-style home was broken with a garden hoe. There was a sawhorse situated just outside of the window. One of the departments believed this indicated that the perpetrator entered through the window. However, the Romack family stated the garden hoe was normally kept inside the home, which added doubts to this theory. The other department believed that the porch light being on and front door being unlocked indicated that the perpetrator was someone who knew Janet and she let him in. The shotgun kept near the front door was untouched. Police spoke with Janet's friends and family, but no suspects were identified this way. Several black men in the area were questioned, demonstrating a racial bias indicative of the times. There was some thought that the murder may be connected to another that occurred 4 years earlier in Columbia. This was the murder of Mary Lou Jenkins, who was murdered inside her own home in 1946. Mary Lou's murder occurred less than a mile from Janet's murder scene. Mary Lou Jenkins was 20 years old when she was killed in an eerily similar fashion to Janet. Just weeks after the murder of Mary Lou Jenkins, Floyd Cochran shot his wife May in the shoulder and neck with a 12-gauge shotgun. He then attempted to commit suicide, but was unsuccessful. Police found him and brought him in for evaluation. He was committed to Fulton State Hospital, related to the suicide attempt. Only then did they discover May was dead inside the Cochran home. Despite there being no evidence of connection to this case and the murder of Mary Lou Jenkins, police began to question Floyd about the crime. Police interrogated Floyd, who was black, without a lawyer for two straight days. Meanwhile, a mob formed outside the police station ready to lynch the black man accused of raping and murdering a white girl. Floyd's only connection to Mary Lou was that he worked as a garbage man servicing her residence. After hours of interrogation without a lawyer, Floyd confessed to Mary Lou.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
His murder. He later recanted his confession, stating he only confessed because he was threatened by the police and mob outside the stations. Floyd Cochran had significant mental and intellectual challenges. These challenges were so severe he was rejected from the draft during World War II. On May 7, 1946, Floyd pleaded guilty to murdering his wife and was sentenced to 15 years in prison. On May 27, he stood trial for the murder of Mary Lou Jenkins before an all-white jury and white judge. The defense team argued that the confession was coerced, asking it to be thrown out. However, the judge disagreed, and the jury was allowed to hear testimony regarding the confession. Floyd had an alibi that night, but the jury did not believe his family. There was no evidence aside from the confession linking Floyd to the murder. Despite this, he was found guilty and sentenced to death. Floyd was transferred to death row at the Missouri State Penitentiary. He ordered a T-bone steak, French fries, scallop corn, cream gravy, bread, butter, cake, and coffee for his last meal. However, he did not eat a bite. With a blindfold over his eyes, Floyd was led to the gas chamber, where he muttered his last words, "Mr. Stewart," the name of the warden before dying. He was executed September 26, 1947. Despite Floyd Cochran's execution, multiple sexual assaults and peeping incidents occurred between 1947 and 1950 in the Columbia, Missouri area. Another black man, Jake Bradford, was arrested in 1949 after being caught peeping. He confessed to the rapes in the area and was convicted. However, the conviction was later overturned due to evidence that the police had threatened him, causing a coerced confession. Following Janet's murder, citizens and law enforcement officers started to question the conviction and execution of Floyd Cochran. Mary Lou and Janet were killed in very similar fashion and within close proximity to one another. Soon, a different suspect emerged that seemed to fit the bill for both crimes. Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller was born February 7, 1923. He had been friends with Ed Romack since high school and was an Army Air Corps captain in World War II. In 1950, Robert was living with his wife in Columbia and working as a tailor. He was then 27 years old. Janet had babysat for the Muellers on multiple occasions. Additionally, Robert Mueller knew Mary Lou Jenkins from high school. On speaking with Ann Romick, she shared that Robert Mueller had made sexual comments about young Janet's figure. Ed told police that Mueller often spoke of fantasies of defiling young virgins. Ann Romack stated that on the day before Janet's murder, Robert was helping her hem a dress as he worked as a tailor. He was in the sewing room where the iron used to strangle Janet was kept, something a random intruder would have had a hard time finding in the home. Ann said Mueller tried to grope her breasts that day and made her very uncomfortable. Ann described Mueller as a man who doesn't use words, he uses his hands. Because he was a tailor, Mueller also carried a mechanical pencil in his front pocket. The morning of Janet's murder, Robert Mueller called Janet and asked her to babysit for his children that night. He and his wife were attending the same card game as the Romacks. She declined, explaining she was already committed to the Romack family, who knew where she was that night. To make matters worse, Mueller left the card game for about an hour around 10 p.m. the night of the murder, stating he had to go tend to a sick child. On investigation, detectives determined Mueller never went back to his home that night, where his children were, until he returned home with his wife. Ed Romack reported that the morning after the murder, Robert called him and asked if he needed help cleaning up the house after the horrific crime. The only issue with this is that the crime had not been reported publicly yet, so it was unclear how Mueller even knew about the murder. He later told Ed that he believed the killer did not enter through the window because it would have made too much noise. He went on to say that the window was probably a ploy by the killer to throw investigators off. He said that he thought it would have been much easier for the killer to just knock on the door and say that Ed had sent him to get poker chips. If Mueller was speaking of himself, this would have been plausible to young Janet. In May of 1950, police used this circumstantial evidence as grounds to question Robert Mueller. They did not go through the process of getting a warrant, however, and instead brought Mueller out to a farmhouse where he was questioned overnight. Following a night of questioning without a lawyer, Mueller was brought in for a polygraph examination. He passed the lie detector test, indicating he was not involved in the crime. However, testing determined that his mechanical pencil was consistent with the circular wounds found on Janet. It's unclear if Mueller's foot and fingerprints were compared to those from the scene. A grand jury was convened, but the jury felt there was insufficient evidence to charge Mueller with Janet's murder. Robert Mueller later sued the investigators for defamation and violation of civil rights, seeking more than $300,000 in compensation. Police claimed, quote, "We did not get a warrant because of the public notoriety and embarrassment that may have resulted." He lost the suit. Afterwards, he relocated with his family to the West Coast. Robert Mueller was never charged in the murder of Janet Crispin, and detectives refused to admit they likely convicted the wrong man in the case of Mary Lou Jenkins. It is quite possible Robert Mueller killed them both. Robert died in 2006 in California at the age of 83. The Romnick family also moved away, unable to continue their lives in the shadow of such a tragedy. Anne died in 1980, and Ed died in 2016. Ed's obituary lists 4 children. Gregory survives and lives in Alaska. Janet was buried on her 14th birthday wearing the burgundy suit she bought for Easter. Janet's family remained in Columbia, where her father died in 1974 and her mother in 2009. Janet's sisters survive. Janet's murder has never been solved and is almost a 73-year-old cold case. This case was actually inspired the urban legend, as well as the movies including When a Stranger Calls and Halloween. Let us know your thoughts in the comments section below. What do you think happened in this case? Or, I should say, who do you think is responsible for the murder? And of course, give us a thumbs up if you like our video. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the bell notification button to be notified of future videos. And of course, if you want to support the channel, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, your support helps the channel grow, upgrade our equipment, bring a new host, be able to pay them, and take this show on the road. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see.
You have been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS or become a patron at patreon.com/truecrimeneversleeps.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.